Okay, so we're going to be reading John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but one other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this point, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him that he had said these things to her. Randy, blessings as you bring our meditation.
Well, blessed Easter. Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be gathered together. I'm really grateful, First Step Mennonite, that you can join us this morning as well. I think I heard this first from our elder chair, Neil, the way he described it. He said, two congregations, one church. And I think that's perfect. We are one church, and it's great to worship together this morning. Well, Easter is the day in which we celebrate that Jesus has overcome the hold of death. And as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus this Sunday, we receive a promise from God that we serve a resurrected Lord that promises to always go with us. That is good news this morning. So we should celebrate that. Let's just give a round of applause that Jesus is alive. Woo! This Lent, we have been looking at betweens, using the phrase, between you and me. Specifically, we have spent time looking at the covenants that God has made between God and God's people. We looked at a covenant with Noah, and that covenant was with all of creation, including the animals, some animals that we got to appreciate this morning at the sunrise service. We looked at a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, and a covenant promise that would be for generations and generations and generations of God being the God of Israel, and God's salvation would come through this people, Israel. We looked at a covenant that was promised through the prophet Jeremiah. A new covenant, we are told from Jeremiah, that looks forward to the life of Jesus the Christ. And now today, the new covenant in Jesus. And yet a new covenant that has surprised some people. It wasn't the kind that Israel was expecting. And we saw that last week as Rance preached, and I'm grateful for Rance for bringing the message. And we saw that the people were surprised that this Messiah would not be a Messiah that would save them from Rome through a military uprising. Indeed, this new covenant in Jesus would be different from that. Jesus said, I'm not going to be that kind of earthly king that you were expecting. My kingdom is of the Father. It is of God. Join me in that kingdom. But it will surprise you. It was simply too hard to understand for most of the people. And they had this Messiah king crucified because he defied their expectations. It was just too upside down. The new covenant in Jesus the Christ, the blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins, crucified on a cross. We see in the creation of the world, God's intention is for right relationship in all elements. Right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with others, and right relationship with all of creation. Yet it's what I'm going to call the betweens that often create the disconnect of the right relationship. Yet God is always working to have right relationship restored. Yes, we have put up barriers between us and God. What are those barriers, those betweens? There are sins, there are fears, there are greeds. There are inability to trust God. It's our violence. It's our storing up for ourselves and not sharing. It's forgetting those on the margins. The people of Israel did that, and we have as well. We have plenty of betweens that keep us from that right relationship with God and with others. Instead of trusting in God's everlasting faithfulness and love and following the teachings of Jesus, we have often put up barriers and walls. Walls and not bridges. Things that get between us and God. The small gods, the things that we find hindering our relationship with God and with creation. Those betweens, they break relationship. And on Good Friday and Monday, Thursday and Good Friday, we remembered that God in Jesus Christ went to the cross for the salvation of all of us and the whole world, taking on all of the betweens that get in the way of that right relationship. And he took those betweens and he put them to death, showing forgiveness and love and unimaginable grace to all of us. Those betweens, those sins, those fears, put to death on the cross. Do we still live with sin and fear? Do we still not always love God and our neighbor as we should? Yes, we do. Is there still brokenness and suffering? Yes, we know that. We experience that. We live that. Do we still put up betweens? Yes. But here is the good news. On the cross, those betweens were ultimately defeated. They are not going to have the last say. And the reason they're not going to have the last say is because of what we celebrate today. What we celebrate today is that death did not have the last word. Because of the resurrection, that our God in Christ put to death all of that sin and brokenness and rose again in new life. And so while we live in the here and but the not fully yet, we celebrate that ultimately sin has been defeated in the cross and that God's kingdom is here, right now, present. It's not fully realized, but it ultimately will win. That's the good news of Easter Sunday. That God in Christ put to death that brokenness and rose again in new life. Today on Easter Sunday, we celebrate that the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection from the dead means there is no longer anything that needs to come in between us and God. The curtain has been torn in two. The between barrier is gone. In his death and resurrection, Jesus has become the between. I'll say that again. In his death and resurrection, Jesus has become the between, so that there are no more betweens. There is nothing between us, and it's for all. And now God is saying, join me, all of you, wherever you are at on your journey of faith, whether you were born into this faith or you have just started following me, join me in this work. Join me in the work I'm doing on this earth. I'm alive. Do you see me? Join me in the work of taking those betweens down so that you can fully see me and the new thing that I'm doing on this earth. My kingdom is not what you expected, and I know you're still surprised all the time. But can you see me? Can those betweens come down enough so that you can see the thing that I am doing? See, there is resurrection happening all around us. And yet, those betweens make it hard to see it. In the story of John that was read by Mia and Dave for us, all the expected betweens of the stone and death are not there anymore. And appropriately, what is Mary's reaction? She's confused. In fact, it says she doesn't even recognize Jesus standing right in front of her. And Mary thinks he is the gardener. It is in the voice of Jesus speaking Mary's name that finally she recognizes Jesus. I love that picture of Mary. At first, doesn't recognize Jesus. She's confused. I think it fits. It's just something I can join Mary in so well. It's the unexpected. We are so used to what comes in between that we fail to recognize the living Christ right in front of us. And like Mary, we also are confused and surprised. How often is the risen Lord standing right in front of us? Do we have eyes and ears to hear his voice? Mary Magdalene witnesses Jesus' resurrection. And then what is Mary's, the next thing that Mary is told to do? She is sent out to go and tell the others. With the phrase, I have seen the Lord. How are we this morning being invited to go and tell the good news to others, to testify to what we have seen and heard of the risen Christ today? Two invitations this morning. The first one to consider, what are the betweens that are still here? And it might be different for all of us, that get in the way of seeing the resurrected Lord. This is a little bit outside of my notes, Cindy, I'm sorry. During Lent, we've been talking about looking inward, about before we point the finger at somebody else, we're willing to reflect back at ourselves. And what an appropriate time to do that, as we ask this morning, what is keeping me from seeing the fully resurrected Christ around me, in my neighbor? This is an appropriate time to continue to look inward at the betweens that continue to get in the way. We know that the betweens have ultimately been defeated in the cross and the resurrection, but they are still here. God's kingdom is not yet fully realized. But the good news is that Christ is with us and calling us to new life, to transformation, where those betweens go down and we see the resurrected Christ more fully. So that's the first invitation, to continue to think about those betweens that continue to get in the way. And the second invitation this morning is to simply ask, where have you seen the risen Christ in your own life? My preaching professor at Eastern Mennonite Seminary said this: on an Easter sermon, make sure you preach a whole lot of grace, 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 and a whole lot of life, life, life. So that's how I want to end this sermon this morning, by a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of life, because the resurrected Christ is at work right here, and we can see Jesus in our midst. So I put together some pictures for us to see some glimpses of the resurrected Christ at work in our lives. We need to celebrate those places. They are places where God's kingdom of new life is coming to this earth. We need to name it and celebrate it and continue to join the God of new life. So my first picture is of our library. I know some of you are thinking, now what in the world? Why would you put a picture of our library up trying to talk about seeing the resurrected Christ? We have books in our library, and I was walking past it the other week, and I just had this moment of like recognizing, I cannot take for granted that we have a church that has books, that we have access to books. It's something that we can take for granted so easily. But I was just looking at the just on our board right out here, the variety of books that we have. And the reason I see the resurrected Christ here is because there is so many opportunities to learn and to grow. Books on Syria. Books for children, books for adults. And right on the other side of this, you're going to have books like The Earth is the Lord's, which says the history of Lancaster Conference. These books, I think, are important. And we shouldn't take for granted the ability to read and to grow and to understand what is going on in our world. So thanks to Becky Rutt. And it's something simple, but I wanted to name it, that is something that we can do, is continuing to read. Christ is risen. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about the opportunities in the past year that our church, First Steph and Whitmer Heights, has had to rent our space out. And there's two different opportunities that we've had to rent our space. The first is from a place called Life Skills. And this is a picture on the wall from one of our classrooms that's renting some of the space. It says, if you are not respected, it is not love. And the second one is about if you are a victim of domestic violence. One of the goals of Life Skills that is renting our space is providing education and resources for those who in the past have been victims of domestic violence or just conflict of many different kinds, offenders and victims, because oftentimes offenders have once been victims. And this is a safe place to come and to get resourcing and support. Valuable resource in our community. Badly needed in a world of increasing violence. This is getting valuable skills on mediation and how to talk and resolve conflict in healthy ways. I see this as a place where Christ is at work and that it can happen in a space here at our church. And the second opportunity that we've had to rent out some space is the Lancaster Center of Deaf and Hard of Hearing Services, which uses the basement of our church. What do they provide? Interpreting, getting connected to community resources, social supports. If you went down there, you would see that there's actually some tax services for people to get free their taxes done for free. They help with bills. It's so great to see our space being used in our community, people coming into our building and getting valuable resources, and it connects with our mission with the deaf congregation as well. This is a part of our mission, I believe, for First Deaf Church, to be a space that can welcome into the community, into our building, to use some of these resources. Praise the Lord, Christ is risen. Another place I see new life. The March for Our Lives has been in the news a lot, and I know it has been somewhat polarizing. But it is being led by young people. It's a new thing rising up out of an horrific act of violence and gun culture in our United States. There's one thing that has saddened me. At the March for Our Lives in D.C., I heard from others that it was as if the church didn't even exist. For these fired up young people, is the church simply viewed as irrelevant and hopelessly connected? That saddens me. Because I think the church should be the first place where people can say, no, we do care about this and we want a place of more peace and safety. Why? Because it's exactly who we're following in Jesus. This past week, we looked at Jesus' walk into Jerusalem. In Holy Week, we see Jesus radically rejecting the very violence that still holds our nation captive. And now, this morning, we celebrate a resurrected Jesus, the Christ, that powerfully points us towards restorative justice and not retributive justice. This picture is of 12 Lancaster County high school students who came together with LMP to talk about the March for Our Lives and all the debates right now. And this is what gives me hope, friends. These students did not all agree on the best way forward. In fact, if you listen to it online, you will hear a few of them being at very different places than some of the other ones. But what gives me hope is that these young people are coming together and saying, we want to talk peacefully and we care about this, even though we don't agree on all the solutions forward. Austin Clatterbunk is one of the students in there. He's from Lancaster Mennonite High School. He helped to organize a walkout at Lancaster Mennonite. And what gives me hope is that the administration of Lancaster Mennonite was not telling them not to do it. They were behind it to the point of even getting out there with the students. That gives me hope. And Austin here, who helped to organize the march, if you listen to him, one of the first things he says is why he wants to be there is he says, I want to learn from my other peers who I don't agree with. He says, I want to learn from them. I want to be in conversation with them while also bringing his own convictions to the table. This is at Locust Grove. This gives me hope for the future. This, I see Christ being risen here. I celebrate young our children, our middle schoolers, our high schoolers, our college students, who see a different way forward for the future. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Praise the Lord, Christ is risen. Can I get an amen? And last, where I see new life. That our God in Jesus Christ is doing something new in all of us, leading the way for us into the future. God is forming us. God is at work. This is a picture, painting from Flora Slauson Wohner. It's entitled, In Prayer, Fear, and Our Powers. by Upper Room Books in 1989. This piece of art here, I see resurrection. This extravagant love of God that goes to the cross, that dies on the cross for all of us, for the healing, showing grace and forgiveness, this recognition that we are forever loved, the Father's love. This is the love that rises again, this new life that is being offered to all of us in Christ. For Flora Slauson Wohner, she wrote a prayer that went with this artwork. And someone, actually, I got this from Emily. She showed this to me. This connects with Easter, and I find myself pausing as I read this prayer over every line, noticing how the risen living Christ is with me on the other side of the cross. I'd like to read this prayer that Flora has written to go with this piece of art. She says and prays, "The risen living Christ calls me by my name, comes to the loneliness within me, heals that which is wounded in me, comforts that which grieves in me, seeks for that which is lost within me, releases me from that which has dominion over me, cleanses me of that which does not belong to me, the betweens, renews that which feels drained within me, awakens that which is asleep in me, names that which is formless within me, and empowers that which is newborn within me, consecrates and guides that which is strong within me, and restores me to this world which needs me, reaches out in endless love to others through me." Where do we see new life? It's in all of us. God is at work in each and every one of you, wherever you're at on your journey. And the great gift of Easter Sunday and resurrection is that we have a God that is at work in each one of us and calling us to join him in the work of reconciliation and his kingdom. At Easter, we celebrate that there is new life, new things happening. Just look at this shared fellowship. God's promises and God's love are surprising, full of new possibilities, and it's good news. So may we have eyes to see it and join God in it. May we ask, what are the betweens that continue to blur the vision? And like Mary, we might be surprised to find out that we saw Jesus in front of us in a very unexpected place. Can we, like Mary, be sent out to go and tell others about the risen Lord? May we be faithful Whitmer Heights and First Step, community and friends. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are at work, that you are alive in all of us and in our community and in the world, that you have become the between, and that there is nothing between us through the cross and the resurrection. Thank you for the places where we see your risen Christ in this world. Right here in our church, we celebrate First Death in Whitmer Heights, the new life that we have. We celebrate the places in our community where we see you at work. We celebrate the places in our own lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to form us and continue to bring your new life in all of us. May we be aware of the barriers, and may we see you at work and join you in it. We thank you, God, that you are alive. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.